then so be it. On the other hand, we're going to continue to work here to prepare the way of the Lord, and so long as those resources are made available, would you help us? All over the world, people are waiting for this broadcast. They really are. It's amazing. Help us, will you? Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA, and or make your gift right there on our website, saveus.org. I believe that God will bless you. I really do. I'm not going to tell you how. Freely you've received, freely give. Thanks for joining us. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and let's be in prayer for our nation tomorrow on the National Day of Prayer.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king, but in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be your views. Now, at 9 o'clock, we're going to have a gentleman on, a physician who treats Morgellons disease, and we'll have a fascinating talk with him. But in the meantime, why we need your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Either that, you call in, or you're going to have to hear an hour-long monologue, totally unprepared, just sort of the ramblings of an 83-year-old gentleman. So give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question or you have something you'd like to talk about. But, you know, we live in the most amazing, amazing world. The whole world is collapsing, and people are concerned certainly about a totally manipulated and contrived tragedy that occurred to a fellow named a black boy who was shot by Zimmerman. And certainly, if you've ever seen an incident, this Trevor Martin death that has been created by the media, focusing on it and going over it again and again and again. People die all across America every day, and some are blacks killed by whites, and some are whites killed by blacks, and most are blacks killed by blacks, because unfortunately there's so much more violence in the black community. And yet, of course, they just pick out one instance and they play that up, and they give us all sorts of conflicting reports, and they make certainly Zimmerman look like a racist, as if whites are killing blacks. But unfortunately, Zimmerman has a black grandfather, and certainly he comes from, his family comes from, as I remember, from Peru, and so basically they're largely Hispanic, and how he got the name of Zimmerman, I'll never know. But of course they're trying to create a racial incident and inflame the blacks, and the blacks have reason for their concern and for reason for feeling they're being discriminated, but these are never brought out. Did you ever wonder why in America today, one in every three young black men between 21 and 31 is in prison, probation, or parole? Why? It's because we're poisoning them with lead in the hydrofluorosilicic acid areas of the country, and 68% of the country is fluoridated, the water is fluoridated, and 90% of those are fluoridated with a substance so toxic that it would eat a hole in a 50-gallon drum. They have to store it and transport it in rubber. We're importing this from all over the world so we can poison the black population. What am I saying? Well, I'm simply pointing out Roger Masters' work at Dartmouth, and if you want to get it, you can get it off the internet or from us. And basically, of course, what Dr. Masters has pointed out is the largest study ever done in the United States was done on 450,000 children, almost a half a million, 450,000 children, but they did a finger stick on them, took the blood and analyzed it for lead. And, of course, in the areas, of course, where they were fluoridating the water with hydrofluosilicic acid, why, of course, they doubled the incidence, the level of lead in white children. It went up four times in Hispanics and six times in blacks because of the genetic differences. And, of course, they poisoned these unfortunate young men. And, of course, this is directly related to the incidence of criminal activity. Why doesn't Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton ever talk about that? Our number, 1-888-24 Liberty.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountain to the prairie, to the ocean, white with gold.
This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And if you're out there across America, it's open lines. Give us a call. We were talking about a discrimination against blacks, Dr. Roger Masters' work at Dartmouth, and we've talked about this before. I don't know that anybody has ever written in and asked for Dr. Roger Masters' work. We used to keep it on hand. We do certainly have my copies of it. It's available on the internet. And here he is, a sociologist back at Dartmouth, and he wanted to know what parts of the chemicals or other things might play in creating criminal activity. And so he checked on and correlated the level of criminal activity with the amount of hydrofluosilicic acid in the water supply, which could be directly related to the level of lead in the blood of black children. And of course, basically, of course, if you're going to fluoridate the water with hydrofluosilic acid, why, of course, the level of lead in the blood goes up, the level then of lead in the brains of blacks goes up, and the level of criminal activity goes up, so that today, one in every young black man between 21 and 31 is in prison, probation, or parole. Why are we worried about Zimmerman and Trevor and this other situation, and not concerned about a very real issue? Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-2295. Certainly, we know that the abortion clinics in America are predominantly in the poor black areas, and certainly Margaret Sanger, who founded Planned Parenthood with the support of our great tax-exempt foundations, the Rockefellers and the Fords and Carnegies. Margaret Sanger talked about how she wanted to raise a race of racehorses, and basically wanted to get rid of the blacks and how inferior they were. And basically, today we see these racial policies being carried out. Certainly, the AIDS epidemic is a beautiful example of racism. We can prove, and I can prove in any court of law, that AIDS is a created virus, a genetically altered or created organism, and certainly it targets blacks. And they have certain genes that whites don't, which is why almost half of the people who are infected with HIV or who have AIDS, who have died of AIDS in the United States, are black. But, of course, over in Africa, of course, the disease is spread exponentially. We do know that in Botswana today, somewhere between 46 and 48% of the pregnant women there, black women, are HIV infected, and they're all going to die. They know exactly what they're doing, and the disease was spread throughout Africa. Certainly every indication it was spread in the hepatitis B vaccine, and they put out all sorts of other information to confuse people. Oh, it was in the polio vaccine. And then they set up like setting up a straw man, then you can knock it down. But so they come up with all these stories, and then they suddenly undermine the stories. But there's certainly the evidence shows that in those areas where they used this experimental hepatitis B vaccine back in 1977, those are the areas, and only in those areas, where AIDS is a major problem in South Africa. And of course, there, certainly 25% of the adult population is infected. And certainly here in America, why? Because the levels are not that high. But still, we have far more AIDS among the blacks in America than the whites. Is that because they're more promiscuous? I don't think so for one minute. I do believe that this is genetically or design disease, and we have scientific studies that show that basically the blacks get the disease much more than the whites. And we even have the writings of the elitists in America, the people who we call them the neocons. And if you read their treatise on rebuilding America's defenses, they will tell you that now we have the ability to create new diseases that will be directed towards certain races. And, of course, that way we will be able to get rid of certain races, specifically target certain races. We do know that the Tuskegee study, a beautiful example of a racially designed experiment where they recruited 400 black men with syphilis and then withheld treatment so they would die. And the whole idea was, how can we keep them from getting treatment because if they get treatment, we won't be able to autopsy them. And they wanted to autopsy these men. And so from 1931 to 1971, the U.S. Public Health Service did everything they could to monitor these 400 black men and keep them from getting treated for their syphilis. Now, initially in 1931, there wasn't any treatment, effective treatment. But by 1941, there was, and they could have saved the lives of the black men, but they targeted them. And then in 1971, when the story came out, and we do have a wonderful four-tape set where we interview the man who blew the whistle and brought this out to public attention. And then, of course, all the these white people, you know, who'd been involved in this genocidal program trying to kill the blacks. Oh, my goodness, how did that ever happen? Oh, shucks. It's sort of like, you know, when they point out that the Apple's the software and the Apple iPods and iPhones, whatever they are, has the software in them so they can track where you are and where you've been. And they say, gee, how did that software ever get into our programs? How did that ever? Oh, we'd have no idea. But so the way they tried to cover their tracks, but they were trying to kill the blacks, and nobody was ever held responsible. So why are we so worried about Trevor Martin? And we're unconcerned about the very real racist policies, the effort to kill blacks in America or destroy their lives with chronic diseases like AIDS. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, of course, we depend upon you. It's open lines. We'd like to hear what you have to say. But, of course, one of the major issues today certainly is this the whole idea that there actively are today programs out there designed to destroy the lives of black people and, of course, to make sure that we fill our jails with blacks. And, of course, that is because we're poisoning them with lead. And lead is one of the most dangerous of all the heavy metals. And, of course, it gets into your brain. Why? Of course, it'll produce changes and criminal activity. And that was what Roger Masters actually determined when they analyzed the material and pointed out that in the areas where they were fluoridating the water with hydrofluorosilicic acid, the level of criminal activity among blacks was much higher than other parts of the country, where, of course, there was no hydrofluorosilicic acid in the water. Why is this never brought out? Where is 60 Minutes in 2020 and the other commentators when we really need to get out some of the terrible criminal activity? And as far as I'm concerned, this is criminal activity aimed at blacks. Because there really are people who are wicked and evil in the world today, and unless you understand that, very little that's going on makes any sense. Well, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. It's open lines. We'd like to know what you'd like to talk about. Would you like to talk about the economy? Would you like to talk about the coming war in the Middle East? Would you like to talk about population control? Would you like to talk about secret societies? I'm designing my talk I'm going to be giving at the conspiracy conference on the Agenda 21. Trying to make some sense out of this program, which is designed to wreck our society. And of course, I just put together some little mnemonics on this, and certainly one of them was the idea of wreck. It's a worldwide system, W. Are they want to destroy religion. In fact, they have pretty well destroyed Christianity in America. Oh, we've got a lot of nominal Christians, but they have infiltrated the hierarchy of our seminaries and the Protestant faith and undermined the teachings, the message, the music of our churches. And they've undermined the hierarchy of the Protestant religion, and they put people in who are doing everything they can to simply make Christianity more or less irrelevant. I mean, who among our Christian leaders has spoken out against torture and said torture is wrong? Well, Christians should not be supporting wars throughout the world. I mean, we're supposed to be preaching a gospel of peace, not of going to war with the Muslim world. And yet, so many of our Christian leaders and our Christian ministries are pushing, oh, we're going to have to go to war to protect Israel over there. The Israelis don't realize, because the Iranians are not working to actually build a nuclear weapon. The former head of the Mossad has come out and said they're not working to build a nuclear weapon. The current head of the Mossad has come out and said they're not trying to build a nuclear weapon. The previous head of the IDF over there said they're not trying to build a nuclear weapon. But the media here in America over and over again repeats, oh, we know the Iranians are going to have a nuclear bomb at any time. It's a dangerous thing for that to happen. We're going to have to suddenly go to war to keep them from getting a nuclear weapon so we won't have a war. None of this makes sense unless you understand there's another agenda. And that is, of course, to bring us into one of the prophesied wars of the laid out in the Old Testament. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-2295. It's open line this evening for this hour. Please give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-2295.
Makes you think of Blake, doesn't it? Makes you think of a lot of things. We're going to be in this yet, Mom.
up, son?
Hi, Mom.
Hello, darling.
New song?
Brand new, first time in the year.
Brand new, my eye. You know, I threw that song out of Yip Yip Yap Hang 22 years ago. Sounds better now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is Open Line on Wednesday, and my goodness, we had open lines this afternoon, and we had about 15 calls. I don't know what's going on tonight, but if you're out there, something you'd like to talk about, give us a call, and we'd be glad to talk to you. Well, let's talk a little bit about secret societies, because that is one of the things I'm going to be covering in my talk at the Conspiracy Conference on Agenda 21. And basically, of course, when you talk about secret societies, people roll their eyes and say, oh, you think there's a conspiracy? And I say, no, I know there are a number of conspiracies. I know, for instance, when I lived in South Africa was controlled by a secret society. It was known as the Brotherbond. The Brotherbond, of course, eventually ended up betraying the people of South Africa and converting the country into the black Marxist dictatorship that it is today. And, of course, everybody knew about the Brotherbond. It's an Afrikaans organization, and it was supposedly there to maintain the Afrikaans background, a foundation of the South African Republic. But it really wasn't, as with so many, secret society was taken over. And I'll never forget having the opportunity to spend about a half an hour, 45 minutes, with John Forster, who was the premier of South Africa, just he and I in this great big room, and nobody else there. How they were willing to leave me there without all sorts of security detail, I'll never know, but they did. And basically, it was we talked, and I told him that certainly he was making a terrible mistake. This was about 1977, and they were going to betray Rhodesia, I'd go right along with the American policy of putting a embargo of sanctions on Rhodesia, so they would be forced to accede to American foreign policy and turn control of their government over to a Marxist. And I said to John Forster, you cannot trust Henry Kissinger and the American government. And here was the man, the most powerful man in South Africa at the time, John Forster, and I'm sure he was a high member of the Brotherbond, the secret society that controlled the country. And I'll never forget, he looked at me and he said, I have no choice. I have no choice. And I've always wondered, you know, who was more powerful than the most powerful man in South Africa? Why, of course, the other members of the secret society that control that nation. But these secret societies in every nation, certainly, people have forgotten about the Druids. Because most people think that the Druids died out centuries ago, thousands of years ago. They're the ones, of course, who supposedly built the Stonehenge over there in Great Britain. Of course, we have our Stonehenge here in the United States. It's in Elberton, Georgia, built by another secret society. It's called the American Stonehenge. But the one in Europe, of course, in England, was built by the British secret society. But the Druids are still around. They're there every year having their ceremonies. Winston Churchill is the best known of the Druids, and certainly he was an evil man. He's had a good, certainly good publicity. Most people think that he certainly was a noble British patriot, but he was not. He was part of this movement towards the world government, and that is why during the First World War he insisted on the invasion of Gallipoli, where 160,000 British soldiers were slaughtered, and 160,000 Turkish were slaughtered. Why did he want the invasion of Gallipoli, which certainly served no useful military purpose and was in violation of all the principles of military warfare? And certainly the British military opposed it. Why he wanted the slaughter? So that we would have this tremendous revulsion against war, that we could bring about this one world government. In fact, we have an article written by Arthur Schlesinger Jr., an important part of this whole Brotherhood of Darkness, where he writes about certainly how Winston Churchill Speaking of Tennyson's poem, Locksley Hall said the most noble words ever written. And what did Tennyson write? Was I dipped into the future, far as any eye could see, saw a vision of the world and all the wonders it would be. Heard the heavens filled with shouting and the rain to ghastly dew of the nation's airy navies grappling in the central blue, till the war drums throbbed no longer and the battlefield's flags were furled in the Parliament of Man and the Federation of the World. And that's really what it's all about. It's all about a world government and the destruction of the majority of the people in the world and the implementation of this world government under the control of a ruling elite with a new one world ruler. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-295. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you.
While the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America.
Stand back here at Radio Liberty. It's open lines. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, and we have Julia calling from Washington. Hi, Julia. What part of Washington do you live in?
Yeah, Dr. Stan, I was listening to the news night before last and on IRN Radio on ACN Network, and it said something about the NATO conference or meeting that they were, big NATO meeting they were having, and they give notices to some to all the residents in the area, telling them that they have their ID checked when they get out, if they're going and coming from their residences, and gave them a list of stuff they could do. And I just was wondering if anybody heard about that, because I haven't heard a thing. I haven't seen nothing in the newspaper, nothing.
Well, I've heard some rumors about this, and that they said you should be prepared to evacuate the city if there is any problem. I can't imagine what they're talking about. How would you evacuate a major city? Remember, they play games with our minds all the time. And of course, they want us to be fearful. If we're fearful, we cannot think effectively. But you're absolutely right. They did put this story out talking about evacuating the city in case there were problems, demonstrations. And I think it's a lot of fall to roll. Keep idle minds busy so you can't be effective. Go ahead.
Where is this going on at?
What? Well, they were just going to have a meeting, and they were fearful that there would be some demonstrations, and so we should be prepared to evacuate the city. And if you really believe that they can't control demonstrations at this point in time, why, you're incredibly naive. They're trying to frighten you, Junior. I wouldn't put a bit of credence in it. It's simply part of the disinformation programs that are being put out today to confuse the American people. Okay?
Okay, thank you. I just was wondering. I didn't know where it was going on at.
Right. It was some sort of a meeting, and the whole idea, why are they going to have the Occupy Wall Street people there, and they're going to be doing this, that, and the other thing. Remember, Occupy Wall Street is a controlled opposition. Just like the communist movement in America, certainly in the 50s and 60s and 70s, and the Black Panthers, certainly. These were all controlled opposition organizations. You had these right-wing anarchist organizations, supposedly, and right-wing militant organizations, and neo-Nazi organizations. They were all funded largely by the very people we oppose. But they don't want an uncontrolled opposition. They want an opposition they can control. They have infiltrated almost all of our conservative organizations. They've infiltrated almost all of our liberal organizations, and they fund them, the ACLU, so many of these we call them extremist organizations, but they fund them. And then, of course, they have infiltrated our religious organizations, so that they're totally irrelevant and unimportant. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and very few people talk about anything that is really worthwhile. And certainly, one of the things the Occupy people talk about is the tremendous wealth located and centralized in Wall Street. But, of course, we're the 99%, meaning that the people on the other side of the 1%. Well, it's not simply the 1% that rules America. It's probably a tenth of 1%, if it's that many. And there's nothing wrong with being a rich or wealthy in a free society. But is what these people are really up to, and the fact that they want a dictatorship under their control. They are a subversive element, and they are using the military and political power of the United States unconstitutionally in violation of the Constitution to bring about this one world government and install their one world ruler. And of course, that is never brought out. This is subversion. This is treason. These people should be arrested and tried and certainly punished for their crimes, because they start wars and revolutions, and they kill people on a regular basis. Anything else, Julia?
Amen to that.
What?
Those are my words today. I had it out with another truck driver today over that stuff. I said it right for everybody.
All right. God bless you, Julia. Anything else you'd like to say? Incidentally, our telephone number, if you're out there in the listening audience.
You have a great day. God bless you, Dr. Sam. Well, I love to see you every day.
Thank you so much. God bless. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. What do you think about the process now? He seems to be, looks like Newt Gingrich is going to drop out. There's only one person left in the Republican race. Oh, well, there is a fellow named Ron Paul, but we never mentioned him. Have you noticed? We've got a two-man race now, Ron Paul and Romney. According to the polls I've seen, Ron Paul has about, this was about a week ago, 400 delegates. Romney has 600 delegates. But, of course, Paul is going to pick up a lot of the Newt Gingrich delegation. They're going to pick up a lot of the Santorum. They're going to pick up the Newt Gingrich people because most people don't like Romney. And basically, there are many reasons to be very seriously concerned about the fact that he is far more than simply a member of a different religion that believes you can become God, because that is the basic belief of the Mormon Church, that as Christ was, I am, as Christ is today, I can become. And of course, Christ is God, and you can become a God, and that was the message of the Garden of Eden. But of course, we've had other information that suggests that there's always been a force behind Romney, as there was behind his dad. And, of course, they have been pushing him towards the presidency for many years. He's very handsome. He's very articulate. But where is he getting his major donations? Why, they're coming from the banking cartel. Just like Obama's donations are coming from the banking cartel. And they're all controlled by the same people. And the two-party system is simply a charade to give the American people the idea that they have a choice, and they really don't. It's been that way for a long period of time. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But certainly Ron Paul is very well founded. He's the only one who opposes torture. He's the only one who opposes the globalist policies and continuing the war. He's the only one who opposes going to war with Iran. And I saw a wonderful debate between him and Paul. And I never can get the last name quite right. It's Krugman, Paul Krugman, a Nobel Prize-winning economist. And the question was Paul versus Paul, Paul Krugman versus Ron Paul. It was on CNN. And Krugman was being very, very critical and demeaning of Ron Paul. What he said, you want to go back 150 years to where it was before government came in to manage the economy. But we have to have the government manage the economy. The economy can't manage itself. I mean, Congressman Paul's ideas are outmoded. We know we need government regulation. The reason we're in the trouble we are today is because we didn't have enough government regulation. And that's why the situation collapsed in 2008. And he looked over at Ron Paul and he said he wants to take us back 150 years. And Ron Paul, without a moment's hesitation, says, well, Paul wants to take us back 2,000 years because the same policies were present in the Roman Empire that are present in our country today. They had an artificial economy. They had a government regulating every aspect of life. They had a fraudulent monetary system with no rules or restrictions, and the government simply churned out coins and money, and they were having rampant inflation, and they had to have wage and price controls, and eventually the inflation of the Roman Empire destroyed the empire. But and the other half of the empire over in Constantinople, the Byzantine half of the Roman Empire, they had a gold-backed currency, and they had a stable currency that could regulate itself, and it lasted for 1,400 years. It lasted 1,000 years after the Roman Empire collapsed because of monetary policy. And Paul Krugman had no answer to that, and neither does anybody else, because we know from history that certainly the economy does not need to be regulated. If regulation would solve the problem, we wouldn't be in the mess we are today. The reason the economy collapsed in 2008 was because of government regulation. What you need, of course, is the gold-backed currency and a stable monetary system. Oh, you need some rules and regulations, perhaps at the state level to keep the banks from stealing the people's money. But if the banks get into trouble, they ought to go bankrupt, and the bankers should go to prison. That's the way it should run. Certainly over in Europe, they don't have an FDIC, a Federal Deposit Insurance Company, to guarantee that the banks will be stable. But if the banks go down and steal the people's money, the bankers go to prison. If the banks are threatened with going down over here, they simply print up a couple of $1 trillion to bail the bankers out so they can get their fabulous salaries. And, of course, the value of our currency is progressively destroyed, and they're going to impoverish the American people. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know. One of the major policies of Agenda 21, one of the major policies of the people who are running our country is to destroy the value of our currency. They've increased the value of the M3, M2, about 60% in the last 3 years. A recipe for disaster. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and it's open lines, and we want to hear what you have to say. If there's anything that you would be interested in talking about, we'll be glad to. But Ron Paul is doing amazingly well, considering, have you noticed, they don't even mention that he's still in the race. They don't mention that he took Louisiana this last week. They don't mention he's taken a number of other states. They don't mention that he probably has about 400 delegates to 600 delegates for Romney. Now, probably Romney will, of course, win the Republican nomination. And I just hope and pray that Ron Paul then will form a third party and challenge both Romney and Obama. And people say, well, that means Obama's got to win. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not a dime's worth of difference between Sidney Obama and Romney other than, well, Sidney Obama has a little better suntan. But other than that, absolutely no difference. They're both globalists. In fact, Obama fashioned his health care plan after the Romney care in Michigan. And they're both backed by the same people. They're both globalists. And Romney is surrounded by members of the Council on Foreign Relations and the internationalists. And you must understand that they're trying to give you the idea that you have a choice. You don't. They're going to have one globalist running on the Republican ticket and one running on the Democratic ticket. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and we have Ed calling from Felton. Hi, Ed. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, question. Dr. Stan, what was that deal about the Assembly Bill 2109?
Oh, well, you're speaking of this, the one where they want to force, the one where they want to force children, parents to have their children vaccinated?
Yes, and there's no, I can't remember the exact clause that they deleted, got out of it, where you had a right to, in spiritual beliefs, to religious beliefs. They deleted that clause.
Well, of course, the thing is that I hope, of course, there'll be a revolution in the country and saying we're not going to do this. And suddenly, because they know that there's a definite relationship between vaccination and certainly autism. They know that the Amish and Mennonite children, certainly who are not vaccinated, do not have high levels of asthma. Do you realize today in America, 1 in 9 children has asthma? You don't see it among the Mennonite and Amish children. 1 person in 11 or 12 has certainly severe allergies. You don't see this among the Mennonite children. And, of course, the rheumatoid arthritis and the diabetes, juvenile diabetes. 1 child in 6 in the general population has a neurodevelopmental or neurological a problem. 1 child in 6, ADH, ADHD, neurological defect. You don't see this in children who are not vaccinated. And I would hope that the American people would rise up and say, you're not going to destroy the life of my child. I don't know what it's going to take, Ed, to get the people up in arms, but they should be. And I certainly share your concern. about this legislation. They want to destroy the lives of our children. And do the American people have the courage to stand and say, we're not going to go along with it, we don't care what the law is? Well, they're doing this with the smart meters. And that's really what's so interesting. The smart meter issue has captured the imagination of people. I would think they'd be much more concerned about the lives of their children. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And is anybody out there got the information on this legislation? I just heard about it today, but this is frightening legislation where they want you to force them to inoculate your child. You don't know what's in those vaccines, but the mercury, there's aluminum, there's aspartame, is biological warfare agent designed to destroy the lives of people. It's in 5,000 to 6,000 items sold in America. There's MSG. The whole idea of vaccinations is to change the immune response. And then we wonder why so many people have psoriasis and allergies and rheumatoid arthritis. Why so many of our children have type 1 diabetes, which is an autoimmune disease, because we've altered the immunity. I share your thoughts. Ed, do you have anything else you'd like to say?
No, it's just Assembly Bill. They slipped it in, 2109 and number 499. And the only reason I really know anything, Dr. Tanner, other than reading some history and whatnot, psychology, is what I've heard from you. Thank you.
All right, God bless. Well, Cindy, one more time, what again is that legislation?
Assembly Bill number 2109, and also Assembly Bill 499.
Well, what you want to do is get hold of your legislators, ladies and gentlemen, let them know. That appears that they're going to hold them personally responsible if there's any damage to your children or grandchildren. Why they are going to be held responsible and personally to you, and you're furious. And if they don't know the danger of vaccines, they better find out before they vote for the legislation. God bless. Thanks so much for calling.
Bless you all, man.
God bless America.
This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and certainly if you don't know anything about vaccination, you need to get my talk on The Specter Haunting America. We'll give you an overview of vaccination. That's The Specter Haunting America. You need to get David Abe's book, a DVD, Mercury Autism and the Global Vaccine Agenda. Mercury Autism and the Global Vaccine Agenda, and his DVD on aluminum. You need to get Dr. Russell Blaylock's book on vaccines and brain development, his DVD, that is. So these are all DVDs. The Specter Haunting America, Mercury Autism and the Global Vaccine Agenda, aluminum, and vaccines and brain development. The DVD is available from Radio Liberty. You need to get them. You need to understand they're poisoning our children. Why would anybody in their right mind want to poison children? Because these people are not in their right mind. They have an entirely different worldview. And Bill Gates and his cohorts want to kill off the majority of the people in the world. And that's why, of course, they've actually established the Doomsday Seed Bank 800 miles from the North Pole under military guard, where they actually have viable seeds that can be planted in the ground when they start in all over again after they poisoned off most of the people with poison seeds and poison foods. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, there's an invisible force behind Bill Gates. And if you go into the background of the funding of some of these wicked occult organizations, what name do you find? Why, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. I'm talking about organizations affiliated with the Lucius Trust. It used to be the Lucifer Publishing Association. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question, a comment, certainly you can always reach us, but right now is the time when I have to tell you that of Radio Liberty, my ministry is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us get the information out. In fact, the fact that there is a population control agenda where they intend to kill off most of the population of the world. If you haven't actually seen my DVD, Planned Population Reduction, my DVD on the Nundare Call It Genocide. Nundare Call It Genocide. If you haven't read my treatise on the population control agenda, and you can pull that down off the internet from our website, you need to get this information. America is under attack today, not from somebody in Beijing, not from somebody in Moscow. That's all to divert you from the real enemy. The real enemy is located at 5086 8th Street in New York City at the Harold Pratt House. I've been there several times, at the headquarters of the Trilateral Commission, at the Chatham House at London, number 10, St. James Square. There, the headquarters of the Royal Institute for International Affairs. We've been to all of these places. We've been to the files at the Harold Pratt House. We know what they're doing. We read their publications, and you need to as well. You need to get involved, because if you do not, we're going to be involved in a war with the Muslim world, that clash of civilizations that Samuel Huntington, professor of history at Harvard, has warned us about so clearly. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. We do need your help financially to maintain the network of 70 outlets we have every single week. And we are reaching people all throughout the world. On Wednesday, I reach an audience in Birmingham, England every week. And there's more and more people there waking up as they are across America. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. We ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders, our ministers. But please pray for Alex Jones and Joyce Riley. But pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and our protection.
Let us swear a
Yeah, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and for the next hour, why, of course, our guest is going to be Dr. Carju, who's a physician who treats Bordellin's disease. And, of course, this is a strange new disease. I hadn't heard of it before a few years ago, but it has a myriad of symptoms, somewhat in some respects similar to those of chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia and Lyme disease. But we should at least have some idea what may produce these other diseases. Bordellin is an entirely new disease, characterized by a rash, characterized by fibers growing out of the skin, characterized by this feeling of itching or something crawling under the skin. But I'm going to let Dr. Carju tell you more about it, because he deals with this on a regular basis. Dr. Carju, thank you very much for being with us this evening.
It's a pleasure, Dr. Mountley.
Why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself, where you practice, how you got interested in Bordellin's disease, and what this disease is really all about.
Yeah. I'm a pathologist, clinical and anatomical pathologist, and I have been dealing with silica since the 90s. And all of a sudden, on 2004, I began to study this disease, which is unknown terminology and unknown to the medical community. Presented on 90s, examinations of the skin and other organs of patients with the silicone implant, I was aware of the skin lesion, and that's why a few victims were referred to my clinic and my laboratory. I started to look at these lesions of the skin on the clinical basis, as well as I took superficial skin biopsy, shape biopsy. In addition to also, few of them have problems with losing their hair. Took the hair of the scalp with the hair follicle, and microscopically started studying on these lesions. And the more I look at it, the more it became familiar to me that this is a disease that they call it granulomatous skin lesion. Granuloma of a skin lesion is known as the foreign body material which create inflammation, chronic inflammation, with presence of many giant cells and presence of the foreign body, that particularly in these cases I found in the skin lesion a particle of silica, which is dioxide of silicon, and in few of them find a silicon also.
Hold that thought, please. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Carju. Well, Dr. Carju, basically you found then a particle of silicon there. Now, where would the silicon come from? Is this something that's generated by an organism, or where does the silicon come from?
Okay. Now, 5 out of 230 cases of mine, they had silicon implants, and they were referred to our clinic, and we advise them take their implants out, and before that we asked him to take it out, we took the biopsy of their skin, and we found the silica particle, and between these five, only one of them, the small silicon particle in their skin, with a lot of rash and skin lesions like the others that they did not have implants. We studied more about the contaminations of these individual. We find out that there are, there are the sources of the silicon silica. We call it endogenous from the injection and presence of the silicon inside the body, or exogenous or in vitro of those contaminations of the environment, that if you look, there are hundreds of the products that is present right now that contain silica in the food, in the product of the skin, in the toothpaste, in the any other like skin leaf, and any other product or food that for preservatives they put it in the food. So these are two sources that I could explain.
Well, now, do some of these people actually have some sort of silica implants?
Yeah, it's exactly their lesion.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Sydney, our guest is Dr. Kaiju, and he has had a number of these patients he's biopsied, and he says that he finds a small fragment of silicon in them. And then the question is, where does the silicon come from? Is this simply an allergic type of reaction? He comments that when he looks at the skin biopsies, they have giant cells. Well, of course, I'm not a pathologist, but I do remember from my days in pathology that in medical school that you see giant cells that in response to allergic manifestations, they certainly, giant cells come in there. They're very large cells with multiple nuclear related, of course, to allergic diseases. So, I was asking Dr. Kaiju, many of these people have things like silicon implants. Women are having silicon implants in their breasts and silicon implants in their buttocks and injections of silicon. Do you think that this is a large source of the silicon you're finding fragmented within the Morgellons lesions?
Yes, I found the most of these cases that I called in Morgellons was a particle of silica in their skin, in addition to the granulomatous perforating dermatosis of the skin, which there are some sub-classification. If you wanted me to discuss right now, or the history of how these Morgellons came into the world.
Well, why don't we talk about how Morgellons came into this world, and then, of course, we can go from there into something.
Wonderful.
Go right ahead.
Okay. Since 2001, there was a lady by the name of Mary Letio, L-E-I-T-A-O, her 3 years old son, his skin near his lip became irritated. He pointed to his skin and said the one word he knew to describe that it felt like a bug. While the rubbing the lotion that the doctor had prescribed for a scabie onto the boy's skin, she felt that fibers that were emerging from the boy's skin. As a biologist by career, the mother was both alarmed and integrated. She removed the filaments and examined them under the microscope, but they looked like nothing at all she had ever looked before. So under the microscope, they found something that they could not really make some sort of the description what they are.
Now, you're talking about the fibers, but these the fibers that we characterize in Magellan's disease?
Exactly.
All right, fine. Now, was she a pathologist or a doctor?
No, she just wasn't any kind, did not have any medical knowledge or anything like that, but apparently later she became a nurse.
All right, fine.
Yeah. So this was the beginning of what they were talking about. Then she came up with the terminology of the Magellan, that her son has a Magellan. How this terminology got into the website and how it became known that created such a horrible, frightening situation with the skin problems. And anyway, this poor victim referred to the physician when they find out that they have a skin lesion, and they keep calling it Magellan. How did it go into the community? I really don't know. And when the situation is that they could not explain how this lesion came about, how they got it, and the physician looking at the lesion, they could not make any kind of diagnosis because the presentation of the patient to the doctor was so bizarre that the doctor could not really accept the patient, and they referred it to psychology. They said that this is the mental problem, and even CDC call it that this is some sort of the psychological problem and hallucination.
And so, well, that's what you always do when you can't figure out what it is, whether it's called the Gulf War illness, it's got to be psychological, or it's the Agent Orange illness, or with so many of the illnesses, very real illnesses that plague people, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, they were all tagged as psychological, and they weren't. And so they started out then calling this a psychological problem in this little boy. So then what happened, Dr. Kajaru?
Okay, so what I continue doing my work, and I make some sort of website to help these victims to come, and I get more information. Then I took, as I mentioned, I took the biopsy, shaved biopsy, I pulled the hair, and I examined it under the microscope. And the same things of granuloma lesions that is known right now due to the foreign body material. I call it the granulomatous necrobiotic and perforating dermatitis, which is present in the textbook of McKee. If you recall, this is the reference that I would like to give. The Pathology Book of Skin, 3rd edition, by, edited by Philip McKee, 8, chapter 8, and page 288, which called this lesion exactly what I see on the clinical information of the lesion of the skin, as well as the microscopic picture of what I see with the classification of granuloma. Number one is reactive performance, reactive perforating collagenosis. There is a second form also due to this, independent of the reaction to the skin and sensitivity of these patients, they call it perforating folliculitis. And number three, again, due to the duration of the disease, and this especially when they say that there is some fibers is coming out of the skin, is elastosis performance of serpongiosis, S-E-R-P-I-G-I-N-O-S. This is the one that in the skin creates some sort of collagen material, and this collagen, like a fiber, combined with the tissue, it comes sometimes attached to the skin, and sometimes comes through the hair shaft through the skin, and it causes a sticky skin plus irritation, and after scratching the skin, the ulcers start to come. That's why we see perforation of the skin. That's what all this terminology comes to. And sometimes due to the too much reaction to the skin, they call it hyperkeratosis, with effect to the follicle of the hair due to irritation.
Now, basically, is this this hair, is this coming from a follicle? Is this coming from adjacent to the silicon molecule, or what?
That's a very good question. These nanoparticles, this silicon, wanted to come out from the skin and sometimes through the GI system.
I see.
When they want to come out, it irritates the hair follicle. And most of these patients, they complain about the abnormal hair, or they lose hair because effect on the root hair follicle and destroy their hair.
And basically, you know, all over their body is what you're saying?
Yeah.
All right, find out, do these people have intestinal problems as well?
I'm sorry?
Do they have intestinal problems as well? We'll be back in just a moment.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
You go right ahead. I was just asking if they had intestinal problems.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, they do have intestinal problems. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah. They have intestinal problem, and also they have a bladder problem, and then they have mental problem, and sometimes they have a joint problem.
So in many respects, they're very, very similar to the symptoms we see with chronic fatigue syndrome and this whole gamut of diseases then.
Exactly.
All right, fine. Now, do we have any idea why what part does this silicon particle play, or is that triggering off an immune response in the body?
Exactly. When silica is there, I'm sure you know that histiocytes and multinucleated genes, when attacked to them, and because this particle is not biological, so they grab this particle in their body as their function is that, and they die. And this kind of reaction caused to create some antibodies reaction, and the body starts to create antibody, and this antibody affects on the nerve system, on the joint, and it's so irritated that some people, they become so hopeless as they go to the psychologist don't help them, the doctor don't help them, and they lose their job, they lose their family, their husband leaves the wife leaves the husband, and then it becomes so sad that few of them are suicidal, doctor.
Well, now, basically, Cynthia, are most of these the silicon coming from injections, from implants, or from something they ingest? Where does this silicon come from?
Okay, we have, as I mentioned, there are, if they put inside the body, like in silicone breast implant, or the bag that they put the pacemaker in silicone, the mesh for the repair of hernia, and also the orthopedic, they put silicone in the joint. All these cases I have, that I am hoping that pretty soon I would present it. And right now, it is all these are present in my website, if you, and then printed in the wire of the all the newspaper that is in the website. They call it Morgellon skin changes into the skin phenomena.
Well, that's phenomenal, because since I was an orthopedic surgeon for many years, but I do know that suddenly after I left orthopedic surgery, while they were beginning to inject the joints with the silicon material, and they just said, oh, it takes away the arthritis. We do know that they were using silicon injections for various things. Were they using them to then facilitate hernia repairs as well?
The hernia repair, yes. There is a mesh, they use it. And I think that recently they find out that it caused a problem.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Well, this is fascinating. Certainly, Dr. Gershul is simply pointing out that they use a lot of this silicon. I know that they sometimes will put silicon into joints and to simulate joint fluid. And that people have told me, orthopedists, that, and this was done after I left orthopedics, that they would inject certainly a knee joint arthritic. They would inject a silicon solution in there as a lubricant, and the patients would get better. Apparently, they're using silicon sometimes to aid in hernia repairs. Certainly, women are having the silicon breast implants and buttocks implants, and sometimes they just will inject silicon in. Do they use silicon to get rid of wrinkles and things like that? Is it some of what they're doing or what?
Oh, yes. Still, they're doing it. And then injection is worse because at least they... When there is a bag around it, like, for instance, saline implant, still there is a sack around it, and it doesn't spread, and it doesn't cause so much of ugly-looking things under the skin. Few of these people that they, in the past, now I hope that right now nobody doing that. In the past, they used to, for wrinkle, inject silicone under the skin. And because so much of reaction fibrosis make them so ugly that they did not know how they take care of it. This is the situation that it was in the past. It's still, there are some people that still they inject silicon in some part of their body. Excuse me. And these are the ones that cause so much problem in, and they, the problem is that is still the implant is right now released by FDA. Accordingly, they said that the silicone that right now they put in the chest of these ladies are not as bad as it was previously that I have experienced with. And with this, I did not see any yet. It's only 4 years that they released to put the silicone in the body. Now, those ones that I have experienced, it was 8 or 10 years older of those that they have so much problems with the silicone was made by Darkon and company. And I have experienced that. Fortunately, right now with the new one, I do not have any experience yet. I wanted to point out that there is a saving implant that, of course, the sac is still silicone. And the problem with saving is the expiration date of the saving is 8 months. And if when they get old, they get dark and has a prone to have infection.
And so they said, but basically, of course, they would put the saline in some sort of a silicon envelope. Is that how it works?
Yes, they put this saline in the envelope of silicon, that silicon anyway. And worse than that is the saline has expiration date, not for 5 years, 10 years.
I see. Well, basically, of course, I have never heard this. I've been trying to get somebody to explain to me why this is these things are happening. Has anybody else certainly been doing the biopsies such as you and found similar findings?
I, as far as I know, I have some biopsy was taken, but they call it unknown lesion. There was a CDC decided to give some sort of the money to Kaiser permanently close to Silicon Valley in the north of California. And they studied about a few years. Finally, they came out with the result of delusional.
And, well, but did they biopsy the lesion? Such
I am sure they did. They said that is unknown lesion.
Well, because certainly a delusional lesions do not have giant cells in them, and of course that sounds very characteristic of the reaction to a foreign body, and I'm sure that's your impression. We're going to be back in just a moment with Dr. Kerju.
Thank you very much.
Hold up.
While the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. We
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Dr. Kaiju, and this is a fascinating program. Dr. Kaiju, what does the skin lesion look like? I mean, is it an ulcer? Is it red? Does it look like an eczema? What does the lesion itself look like with Morgellons disease?
It's a variation of appearance. If you... It's something known for many years. If you get into the Google and go after what they call it, the granulomatous necrobiosis, it shows all the lesion, how it looks like. However, these are varies. It depends on the duration of the disease. If it start early, only the patient feel irritation and the scratch and some sort of the problem that is really make the individual crazy from the irritation and sensitivity. And after all the damage happened to the skin, it became a big scar. If someone refers to my website of Marginal Dr. Kaiju, there are some testimonials with the picture that shows how this lesion look like. Some of them are so frightening, doctor. As I mentioned, there are four types of them that it causes under microscope severe inflammation, abscess formation, ulcer, deep, and each one of those has the histology characteristic, as I mentioned, of the four types. Now that I am going to call this one a skin phenomenon, and somebody for 2 years they called it Kaiju's skin phenomenon, that they put it in the website. I'm going to publish article in the environmental and also dermatology presentation for these dermatologists to know that they are not dealing with something came from the sky. this, and I put down a lot of the references from the article, from the textbook, show them the clinical appearance versus the microscopic finding that these are something known. It's a reaction of the environment, exogenous time, is a reaction due to putting the silicon in the body. Doctor, I'm so glad to say only 35 to 37% of women are sensitive to these ugly particles.
All right. Now, basically, how can people get to your website? I've been to your website, but I want our listeners to be able to find it. How do they get to your website?
If you go to www.morgellonmedicalcenter.com.
One more time.
Yeah.
How will they? What is the website once again?
It's Morgellon.
Right.
Medical Center.
Morgellon Medical Center. Or
even you say that you just after you go to Raheem, call you, MD, immediately first would come.
And basically you spell it K-A-R-J-O-O.
Yes, sir.
K-A-R-J-O-O. Now, what can be done for this? I mean, certainly the silicon must be spread all throughout the body and in multiple locations. What can be done for these unfortunate people?
Okay. The experience I had for a few years is that it affects on the biological work, and I could be able to successfully create the combination of the material to help them, as you will see in my website. This silicon silica is made from the sand. And if we go ahead and put a mild acidity, it's just like the shower that with the hot water blocked by the sands and hard water. If you put it in the acid, it would dissolve it, and then those opening of the shower get open. Now, there are three things that a special soap that they have to wash the hair, complete hair to the toy, 2 times a day, very long time, and a shower. The second is a spray of acidity that is made from the root of oak tree, and it come from Oriental, and it's hard to get them. This is something that it goes open the pores of the skin, and then there are more than 35, 36 products that we get together and make a cream, and they have to wrap their skin until this cream absorbs to their skin. Now, these are attached to those particles, and the next time when they wash themselves, they see a little spit come from their skin, and all of them explain that. Between 3 weeks to 2 months, it depends, as I mentioned, on the duration of their disease. With this kind of product that I have, I could succeed to help them. However, that did not stop. I am working hard to see how really I could present this ugly disease, that ugly name of Morgellon to the medical community, to help these victims not to call in psychotic. Because as soon as you call somebody psychotic, it's worse than even cancer. And they lose everything. Documented this is not psychotic, this is real disease. And please help these communities to know. They could go into my website, they can find out what I am talking about.
Well, now, basically, are these lesions, are they flat lesions, are they raised lesions, are they sort of rough lesions, like with psoriasis or what?
No, it's not like a psoriasis. It's just like they create some sort of, some of them are raised
right.
with the central umbilicus. Some of them are changing the color of the skin, become like a map. In some area is brown, some area is dark, some area is lighter, and flat keep going. Some of them, they have a deep ulcer that even you can see the muscle. For instance, the patient that I had was working with the fertilizer. The worst thing that you can work is with the fertilizer. I don't know what is why they have so much silica in the fertilizer that causes the deep ulcer. They have my advice, my request to everybody is please, before using any food, any product of skin, any shampoo, please read it. If it is silica in it, dump it in the waste basket.
All right. Now, basically, because will this this ointment that you're suggesting, this putting on, is this fairly effective in treating the Morchellas?
Yes.
Not all my
patients that I see, they have Morgellon. There are some things that is related to the reaction, as you mentioned, psoriasis.
Right.
And I have two cases between all this. They have basal cell carcinoma. I grossly look at the skin. I know that what is related to. And besides, and the microscope, those ones that are not related to this lesion, I mentioned to them that this is not related. They said, well, they turned me, as soon as I said I'm Morgellon, they turned me out. And they said, you are psychotic. I said that when you go to your doctor, dermatology, please do not give this terminology. You just go there, I have this lesion, let the doctor look at the lesion, make a biopsy, make a diagnosis, and treat you. Those are the ones that I know is not Morgellon.
But, of course, the Morgellons always have the silicon in it. Would that be the fair statement?
Okay. Even if I do not find the silica, I find the typical histology picture. As I mentioned, in four categories of subdivision of granuloma, they have a special lesions, and if I don't see even silicon or silica, I still would call it due to granulomar lesion and then treat it as much as I call it the Morgellon, I call it the skin phenomenon.
All right, fine. But basically, of course, how frequently, how many cases do you think we have of Morgellons? Or do you specialize in it? You would be getting patients sent to you. But really, of course, this seems to be a fairly widespread disease. Is this your impression?
I don't think that this is the widespread because anyone that they have a skin lesion or some irritation of the under their skin could be Lyme disease, could be psoriasis, could be something else. But they have to make a biopsy even his shaved biopsy would show. They have to make a biopsy. They should look at the reference. They make a diagnosis.
Well, I mean, I've heard that many of these people have a feeling as if something is crawling under the skin. Have you heard that?
Yes. Most of them, they say that. And that is due to nanoparticles under their skin with irritation and stimulation of the hair follicle.
Okay.
And also create some sort of, as I mentioned, there's some sort of the fiber-type lesion due to the tissue attached to the hair, and it comes out. I have a few of them that they call it fiber, but this is the combinations of the tissue attached to the fibers, attached to the silica, is coming out. And in my presentation, I show that even it does have a big fibers, they send it to me. I review continuation going after this fiber, and then I end up to see the hair follicle at the end of it, and mostly this hair shaft is covered by gluey material.
Now, what is this gluey material that you're speaking?
It's a kind of the material that between each cell, they call it a kind of the tissue between the cells.
Right. Yeah. Interstitial tissue, I think was what we used to call it.
It's a kind of the tissue that hold the cells together.
Well, now, this hair follicle, or this hair that grows out at the lesion, is this a rather typical hair? I'm sure you've analyzed
it. No. Most of them covered by like of the collagen material. That's what I was going to do. Collagenous material, and this collagen come from the hair follicle continue on the hair shaft, and with these scalp, the hair is so sticky, and that's one of the main problems that our hair is so sticky together, even we comb it, it doesn't stay away, it's stuck together. This is what these irritation by these particles create, this gelatinous material that comes with these particles, when especially they wash themselves, they said that there is something coming out of this skin like a small thing.
Well, it sounds
and
to me...
They call it warm.
Well, it sounds to me like the doctors have just got to immediately stop ingesting the silicon in joints and certainly inserting these silicon subcutaneously and really stop putting silicon into the body in entirety. Is this what you would suggest?
Fortunately, this is good. Thank you very much, Stanley. This is good idea, but fortunately, FDA stopped the silicone implant, the old one, and recently also in entire Europe, a few cases of mine from with the breast implant came from Europe, and then they heard my name. They came, one of them came to California and meet me, and the others are from United States. The one from Europe, apparently the doctor made the news that destructive material inside the body should be removed. So if you heard the news about 2 months ago, was announced in Europe, all the countries in Europe, that anyone has a breast implant should be extracted. And other than with the expenses of this health department. So that's what happened a couple of months ago.
Well, at least that's somewhat encouraging. It's so depressing, you know, doctors really want to help. But sometimes we can do more harm than good. So anyway, we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program right here at Radio Liberty. Well, Dr. Carju, it's been a fascinating hour. It just has flown by. We've got about 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program for us, and thank you so very much for being with us, Cindy. I mean, we've been looking for answers for this. I knew they were out there, and at least now we have something to hang our hat on. What was the parting thought you have for our listeners here and across the country?
Well, I would say that please, if you want to somebody inject the silicone in your inside of your body, whether it's a mesh, whether it's implant, breast implant, or whether it's for the joint, please tell them that there is a problem with it. Or if you have an implant and you start having so much skin problem or any medical problem, please refer to the physician and tell them that find out that this lesion is related to the problem that I have put this kind of stuff inside the body. The second is that, again, I will repeat, there are hundreds of products, and about, I count about 85 stuff of the food that we eat daily contains silica. Even in the bottle that you get the antibiotic, there is a silica that they say that this is for taking the humid away. This is silica that would contaminate. I am sorry to say that most of the pills they make for to attach the particles together, the tablet, there is silica in it. Now, I don't know how. I do not have the power here, Stanley, to say more. And I'm sure CDC knows about my work, and FDA knows about my work. Now, I cannot say anything except that continuation help these victims. And also, my article is coming out very soon in the environmental, also some dermatology publication, and it was a very helpful that Dr. Montes, that you invited me, and I'm very grateful. Well, by the way, on the 9th, 2006, I worked with Mr. Renzi, and we have lots of work together.
God bless you. Thank you very much. I guess.
Thank you. God bless.
Bye-bye. Yes, it's been Dr. Carju, and certainly this is one of the most fascinating programs we've done in a long time. We've been looking for answers for what the Margellans is, and certainly he's done this work on his own. The FDA is that he knows what he's doing, but to date, of course, we've not seen any effort to recall the silicone products. And but I think we're going to have to look into the treatment he's recommended. You can go to his website or look up Carju, K-A-R-J-O-O. And if you know somebody with Margellan's disease, we'll be putting together a 4-tape set on this very soon. It is vitally important that we get the information out. Well, of course, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener supported. If you're in a position to help us, our number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, if you'd, we hope that you want to get the various DVDs we have, because we have the relatively new DVDs by Roslyn Peterson on geoengineering, which gets into the background of chemtrails and contrails. We have Betty Bartini's tape on aspartame, which goes to the background that this is a biological warfare agent that is in between 5 and 6,000 medications and products primarily aimed at destroying the lives of our children. It's and so many of the children's pills and the various things that they consume. We have an excellent DVD, and the DVD is now available by Michael Shaw on Agenda 21, a program designed to destroy Western civilization so that they can rebuild it. They call the process creative destruction, but Michael Shaw's excellent DVD on Agenda 21 and my talk, Sydney, on the dangerous deception. It's basically an interview I did with Norman Dodd, who many years ago headed the investigation of the Reese Committee, Congressional Committee, the only Congressional Committee ever allowed to investigate the great tax exam foundations, Rockefeller, Carnegie, and Ford. What did they find? Why they were intent upon encouraging Marxism and communism and socialism and destroying America, and that's why they had to stop the investigation. The last thing they want is for the American people to realize that the great tax exam foundations are subversive, involved in subversive activity, right along with the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, and the other organizations across America. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, so the four DVDs on geoengineering, aspartame, the dangerous deception, and Agenda 21. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We do hope that many of you will give a serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters and helping us financially so we can maintain our network of programs across America. We have about 70 outlets every single week, but it's an expensive proposition. And fortunately, in the past, why people have come forward, stepped forward to help us. And if you're in a position to help, we would love to hear from you. And if you're not in a position to help, they would ask you simply to pray for Radio Liberty, to pray for our provision and for our protection. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And certainly, give us a call, join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and then please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision, and our protection until tomorrow at the same time. May the Lord be with you.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is 2 May 2012. Thank you for joining us. We made it through May Day yesterday, the day that was dedicated to, well, it was pretty much Osama bin Laden Day, if you were watching television. What a disgusting, I mean,